Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Unraveling. I am so honored that you are sharing your time with us today. I am joined today by the beautiful Niamh Gallagher, and we are going to talk all things business, soul work, leadership, and whatever else comes up in our conversation. So I hope that you will enjoy what we chat about. Niamh is a business mentor for women who want to create thriving, holistic or spiritual businesses. She helps women understand their unique soul gifts, trust in themselves, claim their voice and ideas, and build nourishing, impactful businesses without selling out or burning out. She believes that rather than trying to fit into the world as we know it, women can instead use business as a creative tool to shape and heal our culture, offering new feminine models of how we can all live, work and flourish. And all of that is like music to my ears. It's exactly the way that feels so juicy to do business. So I'm so excited to dive into whatever topics of conversation we find along our way. But welcome, Niamh. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm really delighted to be here. Looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. So I'd love just to start by allowing you just some space to introduce yourself, to share a bit more about how you have become the woman you are today in business, in all areas, and what sort of journey you've been on to get here.
This is like the hardest question ever, isn't it? Like, how did you get here? Because where do you even start with such a question? It's kind of like the story of your lifetime sometimes. But I guess, you know, because I work in this area of soul and soul business and, you know, bringing your soul voice and work into the world, what I notice in a lot of people is the same as what I notice in myself, is that often the work that you're supposed to be doing in the world is really being taught to you from a really early age. It's just that sometimes we resist it, or we don't understand that that's what's happening. And it takes us kind of going through all sorts of swings and roundabouts to kind of finally land on, okay, this is actually who I am and this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I guess when I look at my life, the seeds of what I'm supposed to be doing dropped in really, really early. I was born into quite a difficult situation. I had a teenage mother. It's this typically Irish story from once upon a time where the Catholic Church and its hold that it had on everybody back then ensured that she was kind of married off to my father. They were both teenagers and it wasn't a happy marriage. My mother was pretty traumatized. I was not a kind of a happy baby, I guess, as a result. I was quite sick for a long time. And I remember just from very, very early on in my life, being so aware of imbalances and injustice around me in the world. And I had this, I'm a Libra, I was born a Libra, so I'm like obsessed with the idea of justice, balance, harmony, how to write things so that things kind of are fairer in the world. And so I was just always really, really aware of this injustice, as I saw it in the world, of how my mother was kind of trapped in this role that she wasn't really happy in. She was trapped in kind of a marriage that wasn't good. And as I got older and dipped into kind of feminism when I was in my teenage years and reading all the book, I found kind of a language to describe what was happening and to understand the context of the patriarchy, women's roles. And I've kind of, in my own journey, as my parents eventually split up when I was in my mid-20s, and that was a really horrible marriage breakup. And I got really, really sick. In my own healing journey to try and repair my own body and my own health and dipping into healing all of the family stuff, I started, what I see in healing journeys is you start with yourself and then you see, oh, actually, this is reflected in my whole family, my family line, in the culture, and in the big picture of where we are as a society. And in trying to offer back to other people healing, I started to see that actually I wanted to work at the big picture level. So I started off in offering people Reiki and energy healing because I'd studied that and found so much benefit from it. But I was always just seeing how things were much bigger picture than just, you know, the small idea of self-care and individual healing. And I could see patterns in my clients of just really deep thoughts, beliefs, and ideas that if they could change that, everything else would come back into balance. And it wasn't just their issue individually, it was actually collective stuff that we needed to work at. So that's kind of where I am. And I don't know if that even sums it all up properly, but it's kind of moving from the idea of healing the individual to healing at the level of culture and how culture plays out in our own lives and work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I love hearing that the journey that brought you to doing this work, because it's not something that I'm necessarily familiar with, and it's really feels like a real honor to be able to witness that. So thank you for sharing that. And there's so many layers that we could dive into within that. But I think just understanding like how you went from that healing work and holding space in that way, how did you then start to weave in all of these, like I know you weave in a lot of different practices, so I'd love to hear a bit more about like now how that's evolved from kind of feeling that call and that spark, because I think a lot of people, you have that calling, you start somewhere and then it evolves, and I'd love to hear how it's evolved for you.
And it's a continuing evolution, so who knows.
Of course.
Let's see. So I guess this is like the most ridiculous story about how I got into my work, but I had been working for charities for quite a number of years because I always had this, I need to offer something to the world to heal the world in some way, shape or form. So I ended up working in charities, but that just wasn't really scratching the itch at all. I didn't feel like I was really making much of a difference. It was after I became a mother, actually, after I had my daughter, it really kind of came to a head. I just thought, oh, you know, if I'm going to spend this time away from my daughter every day, I don't want to be doing something that's just nonsense work, you know, that isn't really actually fulfilling anything, that isn't making a difference and isn't making me happy. So what might make me happy? And I ended up going to see an astrologer, as you do. So other people go to see career coaches, I go to see astrologers.
Oh, I'm with you.
And he painted this picture of my chart, which resonated so deeply with me. And he said, you're a therapist and you're a healer. And, you know, there are aspects of your chart that have kind of led you into what you're doing. Like I was working in communications and marketing for charities and fundraising. I can see that, but ultimately what you're here to do is to work as a therapist and a healer. And he said, whatever you're doing should be therapeutic, creative and practical. And I was like, exactly. How did I not spot this? And he was like, you've probably noticed in your life that you tend to attract people into your life that are looking for some sort of healing from you. Are you the person at parties who ends up like being stuck in a corner with someone who's telling you their whole life story? And I'm like, yes, I am. Or do you attract people into your life who are in some way in need of your advice, counsel, guidance? And he said, if you kind of move in the direction of claiming that and consciously working in some sort of therapeutic area, well, then that'll probably show up more consciously in your life rather than just attracting all of this difficult energy into your life, because it's coming to you unconsciously because you're not owning it. So that really resonated with me. I still didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I knew I was really into energy healing. And so, as I do in my life, I decided to just take this mad risk and leave my job and begin work as a Reiki practitioner. And that kind of started this mad journey into these realms of healing and what it actually takes to run a business as a healer. Because it's not as easy as we think it's going to be when we just dream up something at the start. The reality of actually doing it is huge. And the internal journey that you go on to try and claim what's within you and own it and then ask for payment for what you're offering, it's kind of massive. And what I ended up venturing into, it's like opening up a Pandora's box or a whole can of worms when you start this work, is when you enter into working as a healer that's a little bit, you know, outside of the mainstream, you know, it's alternative work, you also become aware of the shadow that lies there. So the shadow is kind of what's often called the witch wound, you know, the fear of persecution or punishment for being weird, doing kind of strange work that people don't understand. And also kind of issues with money, claiming resources, saying that this work that I'm doing is deserving of support. There's a lot that came up that I've been working my way through over the years. And I also have seen it in my clients, and that what happens is once you go through a journey of healing of one kind or another, there comes a point where for a lot of people, we want to share it with others. So it's like bringing back to the village what you have learned, you know, so that other people can be resourced by you. But that's not easy when it feels like your work is seen as weird, a bit strange, a bit unusual. It doesn't really come with status or recognition in most of our society. And so it's a real inner journey of claiming the worth of your work in a society and culture that doesn't see it yet as being worthy of payment or recognition or status or any of the things that help us feel safe.
And I'd love to to really hone in on that claiming it, because I think for so many people, you know, there's a longing, there's a craving, there's a something, or there's, or, you know, I think it starts with actually almost feeling like there's something missing. Like that's almost, I feel like that's the first step. It's like something's missing, something's not right, something doesn't feel right. And then as you start to accept that, there's almost like there's a longing for something, but you don't always know what that is. Like there's, I feel like there's different layers that you kind of go through in this process to coming to arrive. And as you know, I say arrive, but it's a continual arrival. But I would love to hear how you really, or and maybe even how you help your clients to claim, to discover and claim that really deep soul work. Because I feel like until you can go through so many layers and so many you know, often you go down paths of, I call like the should paths, you know, the paths that you feel like you're supposed to, or that make sense, or that aren't as weird and witchy and, you know, as alternative in some ways. But until you actually have the courage to claim that soul work, that like really deep soul work, there is an incompleteness. So I'd love to hear from your perspective, like how you, like what was that process to claiming it?
What was the process? I guess the process at the start, for myself anyway, and everyone has a slightly different version of this journey, but for myself, the initial stages were collapse. You know, at the very start, I fell apart in fear, and I'd never experienced this before. Like I didn't expect this. I just thought I let's start work as a Reiki practitioner and we'll all just be fine. But actually, what I started feeling in my body was just this incredible amount of fear, like even terror, I describe it as. These crazy dreams about punishment, rejection, abandonment. And I was just thinking, what on earth is happening? And it's been such a huge journey to try and work my way through those fears, which I believe are ancestral, possibly past life, if you believe in that. It's a sense in our bodies that we have experienced this before at some level, or someone generationally back in time in our family line has been through some kind of punishment for doing this work. I mean, that wasn't unusual. This work, women have been just taken out of any kind of work as medicine women, as healers, as priestesses, as playing any kind of role as a guide or a spiritual guide in our communities. That was just banned, punished, disallowed, all over the place. And so what happens when we move into those roles, which are ancient roles that we're reclaiming now, our bodies that have internalized the trauma, like we might not even, in this lifetime, it makes no sense. You know, nobody's going to come and burn us at the stake for doing any of this work. But our nervous systems don't understand that. They're kind of wired to keep us safe. And so what's happening is, it's like a traumatic memory is being awoken in our bodies. Makes no sense to the mind, and there's no point in trying to tell yourself you're safe because the body does not believe it. And so I've been kind of working on what helps people to feel safe so that they get to do this kind of work. And so part of it is just what I appreciated myself was having other people mirror back to me what's true, because I spent so much time going, no, you're just crazy now, this is ridiculous, what on earth do you think you're doing? We think we're working in healing now. You think you're intuitive. What are you doing? And it would be so much better just to go and get a proper job, get some money, play it safe, and stop this. What are you doing with your life? And that's all the conditioning, you know, that comes up to say what an acceptable life is, or what acceptable work is. And so having people mirror back to me, so that's where I really benefited from receiving what I do for other people now, which is people who are intuitive or psychic or can tap into your soul energy and reflect back to you who you are so you can believe in it. You know, just kind of hearing it back from someone else, what you sense about yourself to be true, is really useful. And I guess that's, you know, why I appreciated that astrology reading as well. It's just somebody reflecting back to me, no, this is who you are. Because often we don't get that from our parents or from our families growing up. We get the opposite. And that allows us to claim it, because somebody is telling us a bigger story about who we are at the level of the soul. And that is one huge help that I have received and that my clients receive. And just having someone tell their soul story back to them, you know, who they are in this lifetime, what their gifts are, what your purpose is, how you're supposed to show up, what is potentially available to you if you step into it. And that is so much reassurance that allows your nervous system to kind of take a breath, calm down a little bit, and kind of go, okay, maybe this is possible, maybe I'm not crazy. So
yeah,
that mirroring, I think, is really important, seeing as we don't get it very much. And then safety and community is another thing. The loneliness of, and the crazy making experience of trying to do this by yourself, it's just not how we thrive. And so I tried to do this myself for so long until I realized, oh no, I have to call in help. This is not the way to do it. I'm not making much progress, or I am, but it feels like I'm fighting all of the time, like I'm pushing, forcing, fighting, and then collapsing from the huge effort of it all. And what really helps is calling in support. So that is in the form of guides, coaches, healers, and also community. So part of the work that I do is in gathering community together, like through, I have a year-long program for wise women at the moment who are looking to claim their work and deepen into their work, which is a little bit outside the mainstream. And the benefit of that is that you don't feel like you're the lone crazy woman in the village, you know. Mm-hmm. You actually get to connect with your fellow crazy women and actually realize you're not crazy at all. You're actually wise and visionary, mm-hmm. and here to bring something to the collective. But it's so much easier when you've got community and people to chat with and receive support from. So
yeah. Yeah.
So I, big thing.
Yeah, I love that. And I like what I'm really like, what's really coming through for me when you were saying all of that is just this, you know, the two go hand in hand, really, because actually, like, you're, if the people you're surrounding yourself with, you know, maybe it's family, maybe it's friends that don't see those pieces of you, or don't appreciate those pieces of you, or aren't ready, you know, yeah. I think a lot of it is that people are just not ready to see them. Mm-hmm. Like that can then feel like you feel like you're having to kind of hide yourself and not yes. be your full self. So I think probably the biggest thing is probably also finding, it doesn't have to be a massive community, but even just finding one other person that you can talk to about these things, even, you know, whether that's a coach, whether that's a friend, whether that's a women's circle, whatever it is. But I think, yeah, when you were saying that, I was like, yeah, that is the medicine of, yeah. that's the medicine of ancient medicine yeah. that we've also had kind of taken away from us.
Yes.
I think I love that those two things, they kind of go hand in hand, but they're like really powerful, just being, and I think that's why human design for me, and I mm-hmm. did the same not long after having Sophia, I had an astrology reading. Right. Like I had my whole chart read and I'd never had it done before.
Amazing.
And just listening to her reflect back to me the things I knew, but it was like, oh, I can actually own this. Like I can actually, someone else is seeing this in me. So therefore it's not just me imagining it. I do actually have these things. And then, you know, human design, which I know you work with as well.
Yeah.
That is why I love using human design in my work with people, because mm-hmm. it does give, you know, we shouldn't need to have permission to be the people we are, but we do, you know.
Oh, really?
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. in this lifetime, mm-hmm. this way of the world, we do need to be reminded of those things. So I love what you said
about and I think the way things are going, I'm very kind of plugged into the future and where things are going, but what we're being called to do and the usefulness of human design and other systems like astrology and intuitive readings or whatever it is you dip into, the usefulness of it is that we are supposed to, at this point in time, claim who we are. Like it's really, really important. It's almost like all of the jigsaw pieces need to kind of fit in together so that we can actually unlock the next level of where we are going as a collective. And so we each have a role to play in that, in letting go of all of the conditioning that has told us who we should be, because it's so small and it puts us into such an uncomfortable box. Mm. And if you have a sense that there's something more calling you, you'd like to step outside your box a little bit, that's a soul nudge or a soul calling. And the beauty of systems like human design is that it allows you to claim what it is that's calling you. And that's why human design, I believe, has dropped in at this time, is that it's time now for us to actually claim our callings. We can, you know, we're allowed to do that. It's just that it takes quite a lot of work because the old conditioning is so strong.
And I'd love to talk about that. You know, you touched on the witch wound, but I'd love to talk about the wounding within sisterhood, because I feel like for a lot of people, you know, we know on a cognitive level that, okay, yeah, we need to be in community. We need to be around people. We need to collaborate. We don't need to do this on our own, but actually again, it's like this fear within the body. It's like it's not a mind fear. Mm-hmm. This deep, deep primal fear of actually being in community, because there has been so much wounding in community, particularly women to women. And I found I've had to do a lot of work around that, and it's still ongoing, and it's still definitely a process of kind of coming back into trusting other women. But I'd love to hear your take on how you have if you found that shown up for you, and how you've sort of, you know, navigated that. It feels very vulnerable to actually go into community and share those pieces that are, you know, they're not the layer of ourselves that we show to the general, you know, the wider world. There's another layer down, and to show that layer of ourselves it feels sometimes very scary.
Yeah. Well, I think it's right to be discerning about the communities that you enter into and who you decide to open up to, because we are revealing ourselves, and that's deeply vulnerable, and it's really important that that's met correctly, or, as you know, with the best will possible, because otherwise we'll just retreat back into ourselves, and, you know, all of our worst fears will be confirmed. And there's a huge difference in the communities that are available to us out there, so it's really about taking the time to find who you resonate with, you know, who's facilitating the community, who's holding the space, how much work have they done on themselves, you know, just checking that you resonate, what are they talking about, what are their ideas, trying things out to see what the feel of something is, because there is a lot of wounding that takes place still today in women's circles and women's communities, but also they can be incredibly healing. And what I find is that it can take some time to find your right place and to find your right people. And that's okay. It's kind of a trial and error thing. Like, don't write things off if, you know, your first experience or two are not what you had hoped for, but just kind of seeing what resonates with you in your body, seeing where you feel comfortable. You'll know, because your body will feel comfortable in a space, whether it's the space for you, whether the women in the circle are kind of on your wavelength. And so there's great healing to be had when you find your right people. And then I guess the rest of the journey is with yourself, in learning to test the waters and test how you're received when you do, little by little, speak what's true for you. And the more you can learn that you will be well received, the more you start repairing those wounds, the sisterhood wounds, or the wounds of kind of how you're received by other women. But choosing who you open up to is such a massive thing, and there's such a difference in terms of the kind of spaces that are being held, and they don't always live up to expectations, I think, is the reality.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that, because I think for some people, you know, it takes a lot of courage to go to, you know, to open yourself up in community. And if it isn't, if it isn't the right space for you, and you're not going to know that until you try. So there is an element of having the courage to try, and having the courage to keep trying if it doesn't feel quite right. But also, you know, every time you do try and it's not right, it can feel quite unsettling. So I think, you know, I guess it's just about soothing. I think that's something that I've really found. I learning ways to soothe myself, mm-hmm. And learning to be really gentle with these kind of steps. Like there are certain things I know I can do. I can like put myself out there in certain ways in a really, you know, and have none of that fear. But there are also certain things that I know I have to do really gently, and I've not in the past. And then I have retreated and I have collapsed and I have like had that kind of, you know, I don't know if I'd call it burnout, but you know, you push out and then it's too soon and too much for your nervous system to take. And then, so you end up kind of being thrown backwards.
Yes.
So how have you found you have been able to soothe yourself in those processes?
In the processes of opening up. You see, my natural way of being in the world is to not open up. So my natural way of being is to keep everything quite closed until I find out if I can trust someone, or until I find out that I can trust a space. And for quite a while, I used to tell myself, you know, you should be more open. You should be able to speak more openly. But actually, that's not necessarily true. I think our urges to shut down and not share sometimes are wise, you know, and just really listening to that. And it's okay for it to take time. It's okay for it to take time to build up trust and find your way with other people in spaces. And the kind of spaces I would distrust are the ones where you're encouraged to really open up and share. Like, you know, just
you have
share.
To have a big release. Big, like, cathartic thing.
No. I mean, that suits some people and that's fine. But that is my absolute nightmare. I don't think that's necessary. And I think the softly, softly approach, tiny step by tiny step, is the best way of dealing with any kind of trauma sitting in the body, you know, the trauma of what has happened in the past when we've opened up and not been well received. We need to hold that as kind of a sacred wound and be so careful with it. And testing the waters is a totally valid way of dealing with that, and just opening up in the tiniest, tiniest little ways, testing the waters all of the time. So that's one of my main things, is just testing the waters and trusting my body, because I will know when I feel comfortable with someone and when I don't. And that's truth for my body. So don't push myself past what's comfortable. Allow the trust to grow if it's meant to over time, and allow myself to open up little by little by little over time.
Being in your body, I guess, also is a part of that, you know, like that is a process in itself, isn't it? Like coming back to the body so that you can listen, because that wisdom is there, that like, you know everything about your being softens when you're in the right space. And you don't have to, your mind doesn't have to be involved at all. But actually sometimes, like, the fear is so, you know, we're so blocked from feeling our body and being in our body. Do you use embodiment practices, or how have you kind of come back to that feeling?
I guess all sorts of things. I've dipped into all sorts of therapies, as I know you have over the years, but somatic experiencing I found really helpful. Even if by dipping into the basics of it, it helps you resensitize yourself to your body. Like, even what happens with trauma is we often disassociate from our body. So it's almost like, and I will feel this with clients, is that our energy kind of leaves our awareness, leaves our bodies, and kind of sits somewhere outside, up in our head, or just like floating around above ourselves. We're not even aware of it because it's our normal and we don't know there's anything any different. And coming back into the body is a whole journey in itself, because you're coming back into the places where you've been holding pain. And that's where it requires so much gentle, loving support to help you little by little move back into your body. So just understanding and noticing the sensations of your body is kind of a huge learning in itself.
Oh, it's a big one.
Yeah. Noticing what's happening in your body. It's kind of like number one. And then the next thing is to start trusting and listening to those messages.
You know? And being with the uncomfortable sensations as well. I think that's, for me, I came to that through yoga. You know, that was my route. And I think it is probably for quite a lot of people. I think like that was my route into feeling my body again and being with my body. And it's only really been this year, after having Sophia, that I've like really rekindled my movement practice again. Because it's like, I don't know about you, but I definitely was in, like, through the pandemic and post motherhood as well. You know, Sophia's now 2.5, but I needed to not be in my body. I needed to just survive. I was in freeze mode. Well, first of all, I was in flight mode, and then I was in freeze mode. And I needed to, like, I wasn't capable of being in my, well, I was to a point, but like, I didn't want to be in my body that much. I didn't want to feel the uncomfortable sensations. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like again, it's being discerning, isn't it? With like knowing when the time is and doing it so gently and kind of giving yourself, I think with all of these things, you know, whatever it is, when we're stepping into a next layer of ourselves and we're unraveling, we need to do it so tenderly and so carefully so that we can show ourselves the evidence, like, okay, you've moved a millimeter. Here's the evidence to say you're okay, you're safe. Now we can move. And if we try to move, you know, 10 centimeters in one, the body's going to be like, no, this is too much, I can't take it. So I feel like whether it's in your physical body, whether it's in your business, whether it's in relationships, anything like that approach, which is exactly what we are told is like the, you know, that's the weak way of doing things. Like, you just got to leap, you've got to throw yourself in, you've got to be in your, like, you know, nothing ever grows in your comfort zone. Like all of these, like this language that we've been told, particularly in the sort of self-development world. It's like, you know, you've got to be uncomfortable. And I do think sometimes there is an element of, like, there is stretch, there is an element of, you know, yes, there might be a bit of discomfort, but if it's so uncomfortable that you end up freezing and not moving forward, or you end up sick or ill, you know, like, or exhausted, like, that's a sign to me that you're moving too quickly.
Absolutely. It's so difficult. And I think there's a lack of awareness of trauma in an awful lot of the wellness world or spiritual world. And and an awful lot of that kind of talk about, you know, put yourself out there, build your business, make six figures, or, you know, in whatever area of life we're talking about, you know, just take that leap, move outside your comfort zone. You know, it's just like, what's wrong with the comfort zone? It's okay to stay in the comfort zone for a while. Let things be comfortable and let things be easy. And if it feels like, oh my God, this is the most stressful thing ever, and I feel like I'm collapsing in the midst of it, you're pushing too hard, it's too fast. And part of the reparation work, I think, which is not just individual, it's like cultural as well, is allowing a change of pace, you know, because we are addicted to fast paced quick fixes. And if you're not doing things really quickly, building your business in the first year, you know, figuring out motherhood in like the first few weeks, well, then you're failing miserably, and, you know, you're a complete write-off and you need to heal your wounds. But no, you're actually just moving at a pace which is a human pace. We're all pretty messy individuals, just figuring out our way and changing our whole outlook on what an acceptable pace is healing in itself, just allowing ourselves the grace of moving at a pace which feels nourishing.
So I would love to talk about the pace of business and slow business, slow, soft, like soaking up an integration, like the importance of all of those elements in our business, which is all forgotten. The importance of, you know, when something when you take that leap, you know, when you take a stretch or you move into another phase, like the crucial element of pausing, like that sacred pause, and integrating like what you've just been through. And I'd love to hear like your, I find it fascinating, like listening and talking to people about their, the way their business has grown. Like, how long has it taken you? You know, like, because I don't think, I think people are, again, as you say, like if your business doesn't get to this amount within a year, then you're failing. And so many people give up. So many people feel like they haven't done it right because it hasn't overnight. But can you tell me, you know, how long has, if you've been doing this business, and how long has it taken to grow?
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because I feel like there's such a need for truth telling around business in the world.
Yes.
It's just, it's not in existence. I can't find it anywhere. And so, and
here, it's here. It's right here.
It's here, it's here. every time I log on to Instagram, it's like 6 figures this and 7 figures this, and how I have aced my business in the first year or two. And that may be happening for people in very, very, very small percentages. I mean, we're talking about probably 1 or 2% of people manage to do that. The vast majority of people, including myself, it's a much longer journey. And the problem is, when we are running and building soul businesses, we're not just running a business. We are digging down into the depths of ourselves and bringing it out into the world, and figuring how to do that without maxing out our nervous systems and making money so that we can survive. And that is an absolutely massive journey. It's business done completely differently to anything we see around us. So there's a real difference between starting up a business where there are all of the structures are already in place. So I often think, you know, if you're a solicitor and you decide to set up your own solicitor firm, or, you know, working for yourself, you have got all of these structures in place that all you need to do is just lean into them. It's like there's already a need for your services in the world, because our whole world is based around making sure that you have to seek out legal services for so many different things. So there's already a demand there. There's already pricing that's there that's really good, you know, so you don't have to actually work that hard, and you may not even be delving down into the depths of who you are to do it in a completely new and original way. You can easily just lean into the way it's always been done and just keep on doing it. But what happens when we are trying to bring soul work into the world, which is maybe nothing that is exactly in existence right now? We look around, we can't really see it. We are left to figure out all of this by ourselves. And so that journey takes a much longer time than when you're starting a business that's kind of set up and ready to go. So for me, and for an awful lot of people, I say kind of it takes 3 years to even figure out a flow in your business. And I've talked to quite a lot of people at this point about it, and they would kind of concur. Yeah, it kind of took me those first 3 years of experimenting, trying things out, trying to build up a clientele and word of mouth. And kind of around about the 3 year mark, I felt, okay, I have a business. But it still might not be a fully fledged business. It's more just like the very basic foundations are probably in place. And actually, and I remember hearing this when I was very early on in my business from someone who was further along, but she thinks it was around about 7 years. And I'm now about 7 years in my business. And because so many things move in 7 year cycles, I'm finding now I'm ready for the next step into like I've got the foundations in place. I know what I'm about. I have kind of found my voice. I found what I want to talk about. And now I'm ready to expand and share an awful lot more. But it took those first 7 years to even figure out what on earth I am doing, and to build up loyalty, word of mouth, shift and change and experiment. And so many times during those years, I was telling myself, what are you doing? Like, this is not working. Is this a business? Like, what on earth? Are people going to pay you for this? But as it turns out, yes, they are. And the people will pay for anything which offers them value. You just have to find your right people. But it takes way more time. And I don't know what your experience has been, but it takes way more time than what anyone leads you to believe.
Yeah, it's funny you were saying that about, I was just doing the maths in my head, like the 7 year thing. And it's a, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I had a business in my 20s and it, you know, so I, that was a set, almost like a separate business though. That was a completely different thing. That was PR and marketing. And it's, and you know, like you said at the beginning, you came from communications and marketing background. And I find it really incredible that so many people that are doing this work now have also been in that area of business. There's something that we obviously need to learn in those industries that we need to bring through into, and maybe that is like, you know, you learning how to market yourself and learning how to build a business so that you can then bring that different, you know, so you have got some, I don't know, it stood me in really good stead, but
definitely.
But I kind of started this round of my business, you know, true manifesting generator style, it, when I just turned, like just after my 30, I think I was 30 or 31, I'd been on a path with like the health coaching and like studying and like I was being called to it, but I kind of took that leap away from my old business about 7 or 8 years ago. And it was really last year that it started, that it kind of, and it, at the time it like felt like I was starting again, but actually I can see now that all the pieces, even though they are completely scattered, messy, you know, health coach to yoga teacher to meditation teacher to collecting all these different qualifications to business mentoring to not, you know, to flitting, what it felt like flitting all over the place, and then kind of coming to land on not just one thing, because I would never just be one thing. But like land on like who I want to work with and to find. And I think so many people think they have to have all that figured out before they even start. And that just prevents you from starting. Cause like right back at the beginning, I remember being told like, you need to find your niche and you need to do this and you have to have all your, what was it? The client avatar, that, that phrase. And I was like, okay. And every, but I didn't know that because I hadn't, I had to experience it to actually discover so much of that. And it, if I had waited, I would never have started. So
yeah,
I think I definitely think that there needs to be more talk about the length of time. And it doesn't mean you're not gonna like earn money and it's not gonna start building quite quickly. And it can do, it very much can do. But I think for you to, I guess what it is to feel landed and settled in the business and to feel grounded in it. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to be happening in that time, but I now feel like I've got my feet grounded in my business.
Yes. Yeah. And I think we need to allow ourselves time for the process because, you know, people are really into teaching how to get to your destination really quickly. You know, and we buy into that all of the time, going, oh, maybe they can speed this up for me. Maybe I can land on
the destination. I definitely, I did it too. Paid to do that in the early days.
But nobody can speed up your process because your process is your process and you have to allow it to flow at its own pace because all along the way of building your business, you're learning so much about who you are, what your work is, what your message is, and you have to actually go through the process in order to figure out your voice and your work. And if you speed that up, I mean, you can't really speed it up, but if you try and speed it up, you're kind of just putting roadblocks in the way and not listening to what wants to come through from your soul.
Yeah, there is no speeding it up. You know, in my opinion, when I've tried to speed things up, it slowed me down.
Yeah.
And actually it's led to being more out of my soul's alignment and trying to follow other people's steps and trying to, you know, constantly try and do something that someone else is doing because there is, you know, that's what, as you were saying, like the, this kind of this soul work, you know, this heart and soul work, it doesn't have a set structure to it. Every single business, like this is what I find when I'm working with the design and with websites and the branding, it's like there can, I could work with five different yoga teachers. And, you know, you'd think that, okay, there is like, you know, there's a structure for that. Every single one of those souls has got a different transmission and a different energy and a different way of being and different things to bring to the world. It is so unique. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really beautiful. I mean, it's such an honor and a privilege to get to witness that. And I'm sure you feel the same, you know, working with other people that are doing this
incredible
work. Like I sometimes have to pinch myself that I'm like, is this my business? This is actually my work. I get to do this. I get to see into people's souls through their work. It's incredible. Yeah. I get a bit excited.
No, absolutely. I'm the same. It's an incredible honor. I get blown away by the beauty of people all of the time. It's just, it takes you out of your human mind, I guess, and into something which is much bigger, you know, just an idea of how beautiful people really are at the soul level. And it's an honor to help bring that into the world. Mm. When you were talking, I was reminded of in human design, like the difference, you know, in the profile lines. And some people are, what I see an awful lot on social media or in teachings about business is the five line coming through, which is almost like, this has been my experience. And so now I'm going to universalize it and turn it into teachings that apply to everybody. And I see that everywhere, you know, I've had this experience. And so now I can teach you how to have my life, basically. Mm-hmm. What I resonate with more is, I'm a sixth line person, as are you. Mm-hmm. And that's more like, it takes more time to find your work as a sixth line. The sixth line requires patience. But where you get to, I know nobody wants to have patience.
No.
But where you get to with the sixth line is seeing that actually there is no one formula. Mm-hmm. The only formula, if there isn't even is ever one, is to reach into yourself and bring out what is within. That actually you have the formula within. You just kind of have to trust who you are. And that's why I kind of love the sixth line teachers sometimes, because when you've tried all of the teachings, you ultimately end up back at just delving into who you truly are at soul level and trusting and having your hands held as you move into just bringing exactly who you are into the world.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, it's like, I wish that we all, and I, you know, still am on this journey myself, but I wish we could just all see that purity, like that pure soul essence that, like, I see it in my clients. I don't always see it in myself. I think it's harder to see in yourself, but like, if we, that to me, that's why the show is called Unraveling, you know, like it is literally peeling back to who we were, who mm-hmm. we are at the like deepest level. And I think for me, business has been the route to that. Business and motherhood, those mm-hmm. two things have been like the two things that have brought me close, that are bringing, it's a continual thing, but they are bringing me each day back to my soul, back to myself. And, you know, to say that in the wide world to people that are not, you know, ready or not willing to listen to that, they'd be like, what are you talking about? And to be honest, just if I'd said that to myself 10 years ago, I would have been like, what are you talking about, Laura? And that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's been like, it is just the deepest journey, and it's not for the faint-hearted.
No, it's not. I think you have to have such a strong calling that you can't really imagine not doing it, so that you will go through all of the storms as they come, because they will, and just keep plodding on. And I think the only thing that has kept me going at times is the fact that I can't imagine what else I would, like the thought of stepping off this path and going back into, you know, what I was doing or into the corporate world. Oh God, my stomach sinks at the thought of that. And I really, really want to figure out this business thing because I love what I do.
Yeah.
That's kind of the driving force, is just some level of inner determination that kind of keeps you going through it all. so that you can kind of reap the rewards.
Yeah, I think there's this there's a knowing, isn't there? I remember when I was 18 or 19 and I moved from, I was working on a magazine and I wanted to get into PR. Mm. And so I took a leap into a company which was like not in anything, nothing to do with any of my interests, but it was like, mm-hmm. well, I'll learn about PR in this and then I'll take it into the like areas that I'm interested in. And within a couple of months, I don't think I even lasted a couple of months. I think within like before my like probation period or whatever it was had ended, I was like, I feel I have literally had the life sucked out of me. And I remember saying mm-hmm. like, life is too short and precious to do things that do not light you up. And at the time it seemed like it was quite a radical like mm-hmm. way of thinking. And I had no fear stepping into creating my own business at that time. Like I was 21.
Yeah.
And I had no fear about doing it at mm-hmm. all. And now I just think, you know, and I have now, you know, I've experienced a lot of fear and a lot of resistance over the last 20, oh wow, nearly 20 years.
Yeah.
But now I just can't imagine. And there have been so many times where I've thought, you know what, I'm just going to go and get a job. I'm just going to go and get a job because I can't keep facing myself yeah. day after day after day. Yeah. I just don't want to see these like shadows and this heart, like the, it felt so sticky at times, but something just was like, yeah, but the alternative is just, I can't even fathom it. I wouldn't know how to write a CV. I wouldn't know how to get a job anymore. It's been so long, but there was something that just kept me going even through like the darkest moments of what mm. am I doing? Like I have no money. I don't know what I'm doing. Like all like really, really like unpleasant, uncomfortable places, but there was just something. And it was like, my soul was just like, just keep going. And every time I'd tune in, I'd be like, what am I supposed to do? Like, tell me. And they'd be like, just keep going. And I'd be like, how long do I have to just keep going for before yeah. something's going to happen?
Yeah.
And it did, you know, it has. And I think you have to be a certain edge of crazy in the best possible way.
You do, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, in an awful lot of ways, I wasn't a very easy employee to have because I was always spotting ways that things could be better. I mean, this is what I'm obsessed with in life anyway. It's like, come on, we could make this better. And in the vast majority of places that you work, they just don't really want to know that. They just want you to get on with the work and just make things easy.
Yeah.
And so the beauty of working for myself is I get to create the culture.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, that's such a powerful place to be in.
Yeah.
In a really great way. That feels like a really lovely place to come to our pause for today. I just would love to know, when it comes to supporting your nervous system and in business, in motherhood, in life, mm-hmm. do you have any, I just really am fascinated to know about other people's kind of like rituals or ways that they support themselves from a practical or from a more spiritual level, but what are your tools? What are your favorite tools?
Yeah. I play around with so many different things and it just kind of depends what I feel is needed at any given time. But so my first port of call is always energy work. So I'm just quite skilled at working energetically at this point after so many years of practice. So I'm able to kind of manage my system. I can tune into my body and hear what it needs.
Yeah.
And then give it that. You know, oftentimes we have a sense of what our body needs and we ignore it and just go in the opposite direction. So rest, yoga nidra. I know you do yoga nidra too. I love yoga nidra. It's so calming. Reiki, I use, and other forms of energy healing. I mean, the simplest things often work is connection with other people. So just having a good chat, especially when you're in business, it's handy to have like business buddies who you can kind of go, oh my God, and just like vent, and they will kind of encourage you and do that mirroring back about what's possible. And I see you, and you can kind of walk away and go, okay, it's possible. But just getting out into nature is always medicine. It just kind of changes how you feel about yourself, gives you better perspective on things. And tapping, I don't know whether you ever use tapping.
I love tapping.
Yeah, I really like that. I think it's just a quite an immediate way of like releasing energy from the body.
Yeah.
And then movement of any kind, dancing around the place, yoga, whatever helps to kind of just shift and release pent up stress from the body is helpful. So all of those things.
Yeah. Whatever, just that's the beauty, isn't it? You have your like menu and you can just pick what you need.
Exactly. Depending on the mood of the day. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Thank you. And I'd love just to also find out from you where people share where people can find out more. And if you've got anything coming up you want to talk about that you want to invite people to join you on, sure. Just let me know. Let everyone know how they can find you.
No problem. So my website is neavegallagher.com. Neave is an interesting spelling for anyone who's not Irish. It's NIAMHGALLAGHER.com. And I'm also on Instagram. You can probably put these in the show notes. So website and Instagram is where I am mainly. And what I have, so immediately what people can do is on my website, or it's linked through Instagram as well, I have a feminine leadership archetypes quiz on my site that lots of people have enjoyed. So it's kind of a way of finding out what your archetypal gifts are and the type of leadership you are here to bring to the world through your work, through your motherhood, through how you show up in your life in general. And so if you take that quiz, it'll lead you to a PDF, which gives you plenty of nice information about who you are. After that, I offer, so I have an ongoing kind of group program, which is not beginning for a while yet. That'll be in the autumn, but I'm recruiting for that again. But I offer one-to-one kind of once-off sessions to help you discern your purpose, your gifts, find out how to get your business up and running. Just really have faith in yourself and understand who you are and what your next steps are. And there's ongoing support that you can have as well if you'd like to kind of dip into it on more of a longer term basis. So that's amazing. What I've got going on at the moment.
Ah, so beautiful. Thank you. And I really thoroughly recommend the feminine archetypal quiz because it's just
thank you.
Yeah, it's such a it really spoke to me when I did it. I feel like I need to do it again. It shifts and changes, doesn't it, what we were kind of like moving in and around.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much for your time today, Neave. It's been such a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm sure that there's been so many little nuggets for people to soak in and you know, really, yeah, lots of it spoke to me and my soul, and I'm just really honored that we've managed to have this conversation. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It was lovely to have this chat with you. So thank you for inviting me on.
Thank you so much, Neave, for joining us. And thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Unraveling. It's such an honor to share this with you. And if you have any questions or thoughts or feedback and you want to connect with either me or Neave, then please do reach out via email or Instagram. And if this episode has landed with you and has sparked something, then please do share, tag us on social media, let anybody know that might be interested in what we have to say. Maybe you can share this episode with them as well. It really does help to reach the people that need to receive the medicine from these amazing guests who are on the show. So until the next episode, I wish you a beautiful, beautiful time unraveling, and I will speak and share space with you very soon.